Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Paul Heyman, and I am here this evening to christen the historic city of Toronto, Ontario, Canada, as the new capital for Sioux City. My client, Brock Lesnar, would take revenge on Bray Wyatt, and that revenge will happen live on the WWE Network in front of everybody's eyes tonight.
And thank you, Paul Heyman, for this weekend and this weekend only. Toronto, the Six, is formerly known as Suplex City. I am not your host, AK Lee. I am Dario Pop Passarelli. Don't worry, he is in the studio with me. Big Al, how's it going?
Good. People got scared there for a second. They're like, oh, no.
I know.
First Big Al-less show, that's not going
to
go down.
No. I'm just going to take over just for a little bit. Don't worry, the reins will be back to you in a second.
The Roman Reigns?
Yeah.
I'm taking the pop role now.
Roman Reigns. And to my right, we have a special guest in the studio. And this man deserves a proper introduction. So I can't say it any better than you, Big Al. So I'm going to leave it up to you. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm so off guard now. No, I'm never off guard. I'm always ready to refer to our good buddy, the most beautiful man in the professional wrestling podcast world, Connor Dorion.
It is great to be back, boys. I miss this booth. You know what? Last night, I was going to call up Jack Swagger to come in to replace me today, but I decided just to come in myself. I thought I'd grace you with my presence.
Oh, I thought we had quite enough of Jack Swagger for one evening anyways, or for one weekend. Yes, WWE Roadblock, which has been one of the main shows that Toronto has received in such, I think, to me, a long time. Anybody remember when the last big WWE show was?
I don't even remember the last time a Raw or anything was here, you know, let alone a pay-per-view.
Exactly. It doesn't come to my mind at all. So, but I was not able to attend. I had other family duties to attend to. But the two of you are out to make it. So, you know, off the top, without any specifics, what were your initial thoughts?
Really good crowd. Rico was very solid. Good, passionate fans. All the, I don't know if this was a coincidence or not, all the rude, boorish fans who, you know, the guys who normally start pointless chants were as far away from the ring as possible. So I'm not even sure their chants made it on TV. I hope they didn't. You know, the usual, oh, CM Punk stuff. Like, just.
What?
Yeah. No, not even.
No, what? No what chants?
Surprisingly, no. But there weren't really any promos, any opportunities for them, so.
What?
Yeah. No, they were doing like, they had a Seth Rogen.
They probably were chanting Seth Rogen at some point. Their chants were so.
What were you doing before the show last night?
I don't know. It's like been a long time since I've been here.
During good matches too, they'd be doing these chants, and it's just like, there's a, you know, okay, it's good. You paid whatever you paid to show up and do these chants. Good for you. Now, you know, go home and not be a real fan as usual.
That's the second time I've seen a WWE show at Rico in the last 3 months. Darren and I went to the show in December. The first thing I noticed, I told Alex right away, the ring was really off center.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when we went, it was right underneath the center of the Jumbotrons and stuff.
Right, like literally where the Toronto Marlies play, so center ice.
Yeah, so last night it was almost like right in front where we were sitting last time.
Like, oh, really?
Way to the left. And we're on the opposite side in the corner, so it was kind of, it was further away from us, but it's still a good view. There's no bad seat in that place.
Cool, cool. And in terms of, you mentioned the venue itself. Sold out crowd?
I think so.
Yeah, I saw something on Bleacher Report that it was sold out.
Yeah.
There was empty seats just for people trying to like scalp tickets and things, but it was sold out.
Okay, and Connor, for you, because you attended both shows, I was at the last one, and house shows really aren't the greatest to begin with, but did it make a difference, all the pyros and everything that came
through?
There
was no pyro last night.
No, still had like somewhat of a slightly above house show level production, because it was for obviously being broadcast, but there was
It was the same set and stage as the house show that we went to.
Oh, okay, so there really wasn't
anything different other than the lights and the cameras and the announce table.
Okay, and you mentioned that there's none of those odd chants there. And from somebody watching on TV, it did look like it was a solid crowd up there.
Good crowd.
They seemed very voiceful. And didn't seem like I said, like interrupted with stupid chants or anything like that, or cheering for the heel when they weren't supposed to. It looked like they played along nicely with what was going up on in the ring itself. That seemed the same to you?
Yeah, we also, I think the best part is we were sitting around some kids, Connor was sitting right next to a young man with a C Nation headband and I think wristbands as well.
He had a Roman Reigns glove thing on.
You asked him if Cena was his favorite wrestler, and what did he say?
He said no.
He just said no. I guess his dad just decked him out in it.
Yeah.
but the kids, two things with this kid.
I would do something like that.
He was definitely, he was young, maybe like 5 or 6 years old, and he was definitely having a little bit of trouble paying attention to some of the matches on the show, which I don't blame him because when you think about it, the show was it was only 2.5 hours
two
long.
2.5, yeah.
But when I was a kid.
It was 3 with the pre-match.
Sure. When I was a kid, I definitely couldn't pay attention to anything for 3 hours long. So I don't blame him at all. And
I was getting a little bored some of the matches.
Yeah. Well, we'll get to that later. And he also had dances for every theme song. Yeah. And not the same dance. Like, a little slightly different for every. He was getting down.
No videotape of this? I mean, it would be great to put up on our Facebook.
That's a little creepy. Well, yeah, that's a little creepy.
I need to get written permission by his dad.
And, and the kid behind me, and I'll get into this later as well. Like, he was like me. He's like, you know what? I'll elaborate more. But when I go to these shows, I want to believe. You know what I mean? On purpose, I'll believe. I'll fool myself into thinking certain things. And the kid behind me was into it too. And I was like, I was so happy. I'm like, yes, I want little kids to believe and not, you know, not learn so early that there's no Santa Claus and things like that. So, yeah, I loved seeing that.
That's one character we don't want in the WWE back again.
Santa Claus.
Yes. Now, okay, who got the biggest pop?
I would say probably Brock.
Oh, the biggest entrance pop? Yeah, I could say that. Yeah, yeah. It was surreal, you know, to see him at Rico.
Yeah, it was a very good match. But I think between him and the two main eventers, I think they definitely got the biggest pop.
I would disagree. I think really? The other guy, the Realist guys, may have gotten the second biggest entrance pop.
The Realist guys?
Enzo and Cassidy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They may have gotten the second
biggest. They got a pretty good pop,
yeah. Their pop was enormous.
Well, New Day, too. New Day was good.
Yeah, they opened the show. Yeah.
And to me, like, I was looking at the card afterwards and went, I still think that Brock Lesnar is the main draw of that card. He wasn't the main event match, mm-hmm. but I still think that he would have been the main draw. So that's what I was wondering.
He was what I was looking forward to the most.
Yeah.
Who got the biggest jeer?
Jericho, to it with an asterisk.
Yeah.
and we'll get into that match later. We'll get into that match later. Because, there's so much of that. And finally, and this is probably the worst one, who got nothing? Or the least amount?
I, other than the pre-show matches, I think the Revival, which is really disappointing because I think it was kind of like a test with the Toronto crowd to see how the NXT people would go over. And they just didn't have any heat, I found.
Okay, I could see that. I think, but they were part. I'm gonna disagree only because I think they were part of the reaction that that Enzo and Cassidy got during the match. Like, they helped. You know, they did what good heels do, which is get the other guys over a lot. But I know what you mean. As far as them getting their own heat and necessarily getting booed, mm-hmm. yeah, they were sort of the side act to the Realist guys. But I didn't think that was necessarily a bad thing in this case. I thought the Charlotte and Natalya match had some.
Natalya had some.
She had definitely some hometown.
Yeah.
So probably the Stardust.
They have Flair too.
Probably Stardust.
Oh, Stardust.
Yeah.
And
also didn't get a great reaction, unfortunately.
And
Zayn got a good pop though.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Because we didn't know. I didn't know. I had no idea.
He's another Canadian boy too, isn't he?
Yep.
You mentioned all these wrestlers here, and this is the one thing that I look at something like Roadblock going to be live on the WWE Network. And it throws me back to a time, yes, I'm going to go way back in time, when I struggled to stay up till like 11 o'clock, 11:30 at night on a Saturday to watch main event wrestling. Because they usually would have it just before a WrestleMania. And it'd be one of the first times where you actually got to see faces versus heels for the entire card. Not like your Saturday afternoon wrestling match where, it was face against jobber, heel against jobber, and then
Real
you had one
Stevenson.
Main match. Yes, yeah. Barry Horowitz.
There was a
pat
time
yourself
when,
on the back.
There was a time when main event wasn't on Tuesday nights.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And it actually was something worthwhile
like
watching.
A big deal, yeah.
It was a big deal. So I was that's what I was expecting out of this. You know, it even has its own name, Roadblock, which, we said, hey, it's pretty cool. Fast Lane, Roadblock, WrestleMania. Makes so much sense. I'm watching this last night when I got back home. So, again, under the understanding that it was early in the morning.
You watched it legally, too, on the WWE Network?
I do have the WWE Network, actually, for $11.99 in Canada. So I watched it in replay. I watched it late, and I had to fast-forward it so I can be here early in the morning to be here with you guys. But I was disappointed. like really disappointed in terms of the booking of the show and who was missing, because I was expecting this to be something a bit bigger than Raw, but a little less than a main event. And then I'm looking, I'm going, there's no Sasha Banks. There's no Becky Lynch. There's no Kevin Owens. I mean, Roman Reigns is hurt, but I mean, he's still looking to be at WrestleMania. I thought we'd get at least a promo from him. You know, there's no AJ Styles. Like, how did you guys feel that, you know, like half of their best roster was missing?
I think you have to keep in mind that is that all these network specials are essentially house shows. Mm-hmm. Even when they did like the Madison Square Garden one, it was essentially a house show that they're just starting to, you know, broadcast these as events. So I wasn't disappointed at all. And Connor, you knew ahead of time that there was Albany show, and mm-hmm. you know, I think my expectation was it would definitely have less star power than a Raw or even a SmackDown or anything. Yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't too disappointed. I think the main event made up for a lot of the people missing.
Oh yeah. And just seeing Brock.
Yeah.
Just a real sight of Brock. There were several times during the night where we were like, Brock Lesnar's here. Triple H is wrestling. Triple H wrestles maybe three times a year, and we're getting to see him wrestle, you know?
Yep.
So, I don't think there was a star power issue at all.
Okay. And my final question, before I actually start talking about the matches themselves, how did it feel watching a WWE event without any Vince, Stephanie, or Shane? No McMahons.
I honestly did not think about that at all. I knew Triple H was going to be there. He's part of the Authority. So the absence didn't really hit me as much. I don't know if it... About you, Alex?
I didn't think about it, but that's a good thing. Like, I thought you'd bring it up. Yeah, it's refreshing for sure. I've never been a lover of McMahon. Well, I mean, I was what everyone else was 15 years ago.
Against Stone Cold.
Yeah, and even after that, you know, there was a period where you're like, oh, okay, well, at least they're spicing things up. I didn't even have a problem. I remember during the Invasion angle, which I guess didn't end that well, but I was initially excited when they kind of like all aligned themselves. It probably was stupid to turn that into a McMahon versus McMahon thing, but at the time, I thought it was okay. It
made sense, at least.
I thought so, but I understand. I remember a lot of people didn't like it then, and now I understand why. I've joined that group that with every passing year, you know, anytime they bring out the McMahons for some sort of storyline, it definitely has pretty much lost all its effect.
I did mention Shane last night, didn't I?
You wanted him to show up.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, he's coming out. Here he
comes. I've always been a Shane fan, though. Like, yeah. When I was a kid, going to the shows, I had two signs for two of the shows that I went to. One was John Cena when he was still the Doctor of Thugonomics, mm-hmm. and one was Shane O'Mac. I don't know why. I've always loved Shane O'Mac.
Fans love him.
Why do we have him on the show again?
Fans love him, though. He clearly, probably again, because he hasn't been on TV for a while, so there's still, you know, there's a freshness there again. But they've always liked him. I don't remember a time when fans were sick of him. Definitely, they've never been as smarky internet fans. For some reason, have always embraced him much more than Stephanie or Triple H or Vince, which, again, I guess he is different, but... You know, it's one of those things, like, I don't think we should act like we know any of these people personally. He's probably just as good or just as bad as any of them. So, but I understand the appeal of Shane, for sure.
Well, and I think you go back to it and mention, like, there's a freshness to it. You know, I would love for... I love the McMahons as part of storylines, but as long as they're, like, you know, 9 months long, maybe a year long, maybe even, like, 14 months, and then move on to something else.
Yeah.
Stay off, like... TV for a year or two, yeah. and then come back. Right?
How about
like not have it constantly for five, 6 years in a row?
How about never again is my motto. How about, you know, don't put yourself on screen as a character?
I think they still can add value, but not on a constant basis. I rest my case. Shane O'Mac, I think, makes a valid entrance coming in here. I think he adds, said a lot to it, freshness. I don't think he has to be away for 7 years like he was this past time. But even if he is, you know, away for 2-3 years, come back, or each of them kind of do that, I think. Mm-hmm. Because I still think, like I said, they still entertain me at times.
Sure.
I think Stephanie, you know, still can put on a promo like there's no tomorrow. God, has she grown in this business.
Fine, yeah.
And so, like I said, I think there's something that they can add, but not when they are not only on every single Raw, but at the beginning of every single Raw, at the end of every single Raw, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, or whatever their storyline's involved in. That's my take on it.
Just imagine, though, if over the last however many years, all this time that was taken up by McMahon segments was put towards wrestlers. Add all that all up, and imagine where the company would be today. It would be in a very different place, and you'd have more stars.
Not necessarily better.
I don't see how it could be worse than it is. That's some of the recent shows we've seen. I really don't see how it could be worse.
Yeah, I didn't mind Raw last week.
I heard Raw was really good, yeah.
Well, speaking of shows and putting on a good show together, why don't we hand it over to somebody who's more comfortable in this position, AK?
That was great, though, Dario. Round of applause. Good hosting.
I'm just going to go drink my coffee now.
Yeah, we'll go over the show quickly. Definitely just go by match by match. Because overall, it was a strong show. I don't think there was a terrible match on the card. I think everything was solid to great. So we'll open
solid
up.
Solid to great?
I everything
match?
Was solid to great. I don't think anything was... I wouldn't say any of the matches were bad. I wouldn't say all the matches had us excited. But I'm saying from a performance standpoint, there was not a single... I don't think there was a single bad match on the card.
Yeah.
And see, for me, though, like I said, I get maybe it was the time of night that I was watching it at. Forget about the what chants. To me, it's a lot of why.
Mm-hmm.
So... let's go for it.
So the first match made sense and great opener. Obviously, New Day opened. They're the hottest act in the business now. Fans were just juiced for it. We had New Day shirt. I was wearing one. We had shirts all over our area wearing that new bright,
the girls in front of us.
What's that color? Green, not green.
It was like a
turquoise,
wasn't it?
Turquoise, something like that. Yeah, turquoise shirts. And they did their job. You know, they came out. They were hot. They got the crowd. The crowd was excited.
Let's talk about the big moment, though, with this match.
Okay.
The Bootios?
The Bootios series.
And this... is all due to the fact that the New Day always eats our booty old cereal.
That's true. That's true. That's true. That's true. Hey guys. I was running through the six with my
it's a bit of a gimmick for me, but it's a good gimmick. I mean, people seem to be into it, so I support it.
Yeah, you're not really a gimmick guy, eh?
I don't love cutesy catchphrases.
That's all the New Day.
I'm confused, though.
Yeah.
Are the New Day good?
I think they're clearly good guys, but I don't, like, there's been no...
Clearly?
I think so.
When did this happen?
There was no clear turn, but I think these days that happens sometimes.
It's been a slow process.
Yeah, and it's just like... if the fans say they're baby faces, you don't need to have them do like a run-in or something. They're just having to be baby faces now. That's it. And I'm okay with that. There was no storyline that turned them. There was no moment. They kind of just are. They did a really funny... yeah, the Bootios segment was very funny with Big E acting like a little kid and Kofi acting like his father and them running down the League of Nations. And then they said... they kind of made it look like, oh, they accidentally forgot Rusev.
They did that great.
Like it was a botch or something. I think it was on purpose because I think they know Rusev kicks ass. And they were like, they did it on purpose. We're just not going to mention him because Rusev is actually really good. That's how I choose to read it.
Well, I said
in this case they might have messed up, but
and both of them, up down down, Xavier Woods, mm-hmm. and Rusev, they both have such a mean Twitter game.
Big E, a savage.
Like that, yeah. I mean their Twitter game. If you haven't followed both all three of them, they're fantastic.
I think they get away with some of the stuff they do because the WWE Twitter people are like not on their level. I think they don't understand when Rusev or Big E or Xavier is saying something like subversive or funny. They're like, I don't even know what that meant. Oh, well, whatever. We're not, just leave it.
And so let me throw in Kevin Owens
as well.
He's really hilarious.
But they must love him because he engages with the fans so much. They must love him. He loves going out with fans.
I just love his Twitter picture.
What is it? What is
the
it?
Simpsons?
It's him as the Simpsons character.
Oh, yeah.
There's a guy we would have loved to have been at the show. But yeah, very good match with New Day and League of Nations. You know, but we were talking about Sheamus. I think Sheamus did a lot of the work. And, you know, he's just that guy. He's a good wrestler, but always something missing. You know, there are little things like he'll you know, you're an actor, Connor. He'll drop character sometimes, mm-hmm. you know, in the middle of the match. And I guess when it's on TV, it's not as noticeable because he's probably off camera. You know, like he tags out and then the camera shifts to the action in the ring. But when you're live... and if you're watching someone closely, you just see all these little things. Like, oh, he's kind of just he's not engaged anymore. His mm-hmm. intensity's gone just because he knows he's not in the match or because he knows it's a house show and he knows he's off camera. And it's little things like that I think are why, you know, separate him from being just a good wrestler to being, you know, what they always wanted him to be, which is like this real main event.
Yeah, and it happened that one time we were talking about it. I think that was the only time that we saw it, but he got tagged out mm-hmm. and then he just kind of walked.
Yeah, strolls back.
Just strolls back to this corner like No kayfabe at all. Just kind of walks back. Doesn't really look like he wants to be there.
Yeah. Yeah, and, but again, overall, a solid match. You know, we're nitpicking here. We're nitpicking here. Definitely a solid match. The right people won. You know,
there was a good botch in that match too.
Oh, that was scary. Yeah, go ahead. You describe. That was scary.
So Kofi was in one of the corners on the top rope. I can't remember what the setup was.
Like, I think he was supposed to, you know, and then, you know, Sheamus charges in. I think he was trying to, jump over Sheamus. And there was some miscommunication.
And Sheamus stopped running and just landed right on his head.
Yeah.
On Sheamus' head and then just kind of rolled over top of him.
Right. Thankfully, you know, they're pros. Like, they seem to recover really quickly. But it's one of the things, those things. It could have been scary at a different angle, a different speed.
Ouch.
Yeah. So, but other than that, you know, they recovered well. Really good match. The right guys went over. Not much to say there other than, you know, Darryl, I'll ask you, like, what's your interest in a build-up to some sort of New Day League of Nations match at WrestleMania? I don't know if that's what they're going for.
To me, it just shows, like, how pathetic the tag team division is. When you have to manufacture. Like I said, I thought that they would continue on a New Day more of a heel rather than... And a one that's cheered, too. We've seen that in the past before. But again, it seems to me like a lot of these decisions are made because they don't have much of a choice.
Yep.
Like, who else is there for them to face in the tag team division? Unless you do bring up tag teams from NXT, but you can't keep going to the well over and over and over again.
Yeah. Especially since the NXT tag division is really strong right now, and you don't want to do like what they did to the women's division, which again, when the women's division is good, but they took a lot of the talent out.
Yeah.
And you got to be careful with that. And it's like just like
but
farming.
It's still rocking in NXT, eh?
Yeah,
like, holy, holy moly.
I mean, they saw Bayley down there. Bayley, Asuka is crazy. And again, a lot of the new talents. Emma, well, we'll just say Emma and not
Carmella and Alexa Bliss. And
oh, Alexa Bliss. Someday. Yeah. Give her another couple of years down there. She's the next John Cena.
But that's my point. I mean, there's so much of it. So, yes, a great way to start off. And I think I remember listening to Dave Grohl from the Foo Fighters going, you know, when he started putting on a concert when Foo Fighters first started, he goes, he didn't really have that like that great opening song to really start getting the crowd going. So he went in and wanted to create this opening song. New Day has proven themselves. They are a great opening act.
Yeah.
You know, no problem. You have any questions, we need to get it going. You can start off with the New Day. Bang, no problem at all. They've cemented the fact that they can do that.
And soon they'll show their great main event act when Big E becomes the WWE World Heavyweight Champion.
Darn
2016.
Right. Darn tootin'.
We'll move on to
darn
the...
Darn tootin'.
We'll move on to the
bootios.
Most...
Darn bootin'.
I would say the most disappointing segment because it had so much potential. The Chris Jericho obviously comes in, gets a huge hometown pop.
And he's great at doing that. This is not the first time Chris Jericho has come into Toronto as a heel.
Mm-hmm.
I remember... Might even been back. Is it WCW days? Maybe. When he came to Toronto. And again, had a great heel pull.
Mm.
So he's great at doing it.
Yeah, it's a real skill that to get the fans to boo you, you know, to buy into your act. That's wrestling, right?
Toronto. You can shut your filthy mouths right now. I moved from Canada because Canada stinks. Literally stinks. Canada stinks, and Toronto is the anus.
I don't know if I told you this. The kid next to me asked his dad what anus is.
Oh, no.
And his dad's like, you'll find out.
Oh, gosh. Well played. Well played on his part. I wouldn't have known what to do there. So, you know, does a great job, says, Card's chanting, we want Bret Hart. He goes, oh, you won't see him again anytime soon. I'm like, dang, like, you know, he really, really went with every cheap trick he had to do. Crowd's chanting, asshole. I guess we might have to bleep that out, but crowd's chanting, a-hole. And it's great. He's got this whole anti-Canada thing going, fantastic. All we need to do now is get someone to come out here and shut him up.
Well, and again, you may have known, but I didn't. I was waiting for AJ. Like, I mean, like.
Oh, no, we knew. Yeah, no, we knew.
Like, what just happened last week? Yeah. Like, so for somebody like myself, you know, why wasn't AJ there? Why? Like, I mean, this was a great time.
That wasn't the big omission, as we found out later in the show. So Connor, but Connor, tell everyone, to stop this grotesque anti-Canada sentiment, who showed up?
Jack Swagger, the real American.
The real, and you just saw the crowd, not even boo, some of them boo Jack Swagger, but also just deflated. They were riled up by Jericho, like, oh, let's someone quiet this guy, let someone beat this guy up for this guy. And just, they see Jack Swagger,
And then there was Y2J's chance.
And then Y2J's chance immediately started. And they were booing Swagger, everything he did. They were cheering Jericho. And, you know, it's great. Obviously, anytime the crowd's reacting is fine. But it's clearly, it would have been such a more memorable segment if there had been another option. Maybe another Canadian, a good wrestler who people care about, who also happened to be in the building, yeah, as we found out later that night.
Maybe I'm wearing his shirt.
And whose
right
shirt
now.
You're wearing, Sami Zayn. He was in the building. What?
Yeah. I said, like, I was looking at that going, okay, if AJ Styles isn't going to be there and you don't have somebody else, I thought, what else can you do from a W perspective? Maybe something that's a little fresh. I thought maybe even at that point, throw The Miz out there and say, no, I hate Phenomenal Styles even more than you do.
Yeah.
And have them like go at it that way, like from that kind of, yeah, perspective. But
we're trying to make a list of people who would be worse, yeah, than Jack Swagger, and we couldn't think of one.
I couldn't think of anything. Maybe Ryback.
No, people like Ryback.
But people do kind of like Ryback at least. Yeah, okay.
Hornswoggle.
Some people do.
Hornswoggle
would have been worse. But maybe
Hornswoggle would have got a huge pop.
Funny. Even that would have been better. Gosh, he would have been worse than Jack Swagger. And by the way, this is no, sorry, apologies to Jack Swagger. I think he's a good wrestler.
Oh, he is.
But his character is so irrelevant. Has he been on Raw? Maybe he's been on SmackDown. Again, I don't watch SmackDown. I feel like he hasn't been on
Raw.
He's
probably been on Main Event.
Okay, Main Event.
The last sort of run-in was when Del Rio showed up.
Yeah.
And
that wasn't really him
with Zeb
between
Coulter.
Him and
right.
Del Rio. It was between him and Coulter, basically.
Exactly. And then even that, it was brief, and then poof.
I was, yeah, also never comfortable with the Swagger character turning face. Kind of like, he's a noted racist. Like, this is, yeah, you know, just suddenly. the We the People chant was a viciously racist thing. And there was, it's almost like the New Day thing. I don't think there was an official, like,
turn. Hold on a second.
He just kind of turned.
I need to interrupt you there. Isn't We the People Donald Trump's chant?
It might be, man. It might be.
I feel so bad for U.S. politics.
Oh, my
when was gracious. Swagger's turn? Swagger's turn was...
It was involved. It involved Del Rio.
No, it was him trying to beat Rusev.
Rusev, right, right.
Yeah,
but yeah, and that's it. He just came out of China, but there was no.
Because he was an American.
He's an American.
Fighting the Russian guy,
which was fine. That kind of worked. But even then, when people were chanting with him, like, he's kind of not changed. He's kind of evil still. But yeah, what a terrible choice. Imagine Sami Zayn coming out there and tearing the house down with Jericho. You don't even need to have, you know. Maybe they want to protect Jericho from Mania, and they didn't want Zayn to have to take a loss. But, you know, you do the Jericho, gets beaten around a little bit, and then just leaves the ring, count out, you know, no contest, finish, whatever. There's so many simple solutions to booking that sort of thing.
Yep.
And you know, I'm just going to jump ahead. The match with Stardust later was pointless. The crowd wasn't really into it at all. They were into it when Zayn showed up, but the match just didn't have any emotion behind it. And it just would have made so much more sense to throw him and Jericho together. Really, really strange situation. Mm-hmm. I don't know what went wrong there.
Yeah, I had no idea why they would, yeah, that match was in there. I mean, there's so many other options available.
But, and as you mentioned, Dario, one of several kind of weird, shaky booking decisions on the night. So we'll move on, Connor, unless there's anything else you want to say about Jericho Swagger.
No, that was all I had with.
It's so over.
Then here's a match you were really looking for. I think you guys watch NXT a little more than I do. You know, I keep up with it. I watch some of the clips, but I definitely haven't been watching whole shows. The Revival, Scott Dawson and Dash Wilder versus Enzo Amore and Colin Cassidy, the Realist guys, with Carmella. And yeah, you know, you were saying that it'd be a good test to see how over the Realist, mm-hmm, guys were, and they, man, that crowd
they
was into it.
They definitely were over.
Yeah, he cut a nice little promo there on the entranceway.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's his shtick, right? And I'm never good at remembering these things. I can't even do the New Age Outlaws thing. I can't remember that. I could never do Jericho's when he's insulting Stephanie. That whole time, I can't remember it. So I'm always terrible at things, but people seem to always get them down. And yeah, if you have one of those things, boy, it goes a long way.
Yes, yes.
I mean, you bring that right with you to, yes, the main roster.
Yes.
Well, that that I can sometimes, sometimes I remember, you know, 50-50.
No, I was really looking forward to this match because, like you said, I really wanted to see if they could translate to, mm-hmm, the bigger stage, and they definitely did.
Yeah.
And I think that'll push either them to go to the main roster or for WWE to bring an NXT show to Toronto.
Yeah.
Oh. Which would both be awesome.
Oh, yeah, it's especially with the reactions for them and for Sami Zayn as well.
Mm-hmm. Alexa Bliss, come to Toronto, please. We'll look after you and your
We'll get front row seats for
partners here. We would definitely try to get front row seats for an NXT show. Realist guys look like $1 million. I love them. They're a classical tag team. You've got the big muscular guy who does all the, you know, he's the hot tag, throws people around, is awesome. You got the Enzo, good agile guy, gets thrown around a lot. Great at building sympathy for a guy who's essentially like, you know, in real life, I would not want to hang around. But it was just a great classic tag match. Again,
great
I give a lot
too,
of
with Carmella.
Carmella, yeah, because she's a good character.
She adds a lot.
So I do give a lot of credit to the Revival because you know, when you're working with a big guy like Cassidy, yeah, he's agile and he's strong, but you need guys to bump for him, you know. And they were just flying around like
they
dolls.
Look good.
Yeah. So
both tag teams look really good.
Really great match. It was the match of the night up until the main event. It was really exciting.
I would have liked to have seen Enzo and Cass get the titles. It would have been their first title.
Yep, still. Yeah.
For me, the only thing, and again, very, very minor note, because I did enjoy the match as well, and I thought it was okay in terms of bringing them up. For me, if you're going to bring up somebody from NXT, I thought there were other choices out there. And like, why wouldn't you bring out a more popular Finn Balor? Why wouldn't you bring out a Corbin? Why wouldn't you bring out a Samoa Joe? Why wouldn't you bring out any of these other NXT wrestlers that are at the top of the main eventing right now?
To answer that question, I think Enzo and Cass are quite possibly the most over people in NXT.
Okay.
Tag team, definitely.
Tag team for
sure. Yeah, no question.
I think other than Balor, I think they're the next ones, the highest guys.
And it might just be that the card was quite a lot of individual matches, and the only tag team match was the New Day one prior to that. Mm-hmm. Were there any other tag team matches?
No, that was it.
Okay, so that might be one of the reasons as well.
Yeah, handicap.
Oh, jeez.
We'll get to it.
We'll get to it. Let's.
I'm quiet now.
We're not going to talk much about the Divas Championship match anyway. It was a solid match, but it's everything we've always say about Charlotte and Natalya. It's like they just lack a little bit of in-ring charisma.
And a weird promo cut before.
Connor, you want to talk about that? You're the acting coach. Please tell me what you thought.
Natalya was cutting an okay promo. It's a good Natalya promo. And then Charlotte didn't like took one step onto the screen. Like, how did Natalya not see them standing there?
That's my favorite WWE interview thing is the doing the interview clearly looking like in that direction, and then the people show up. I'm like, you see that maybe you want to address them while they're walking up. And
the best part of that match was Flair, Ric Flair.
I think we've been saying that about a lot of
Charlotte
matches.
And that's with Flair not even saying a word.
Yep.
Now we want to be clear again. Because this was the theme of the night, I think. A lot of good wrestling. And Charlotte and Natalya, I think two of the best in-ring wrestlers from a technical
standpoint. Yeah, they put on a great match. But
Natalya has always lacked in-ring charisma.
But that's it, right? Like, I mean, you can't just be a good technical wrestler to make it. You need something else. You need either a good character, you need to be able to drive, you need something to go, like you said, the charisma. But it's really hard to define what that is.
Yeah, it's the it factor, which is so frustrating.
When people say that.
Why do some people have it and some people don't? I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. Connor, sorry,
you're right.
I cut you off, Connor.
It was a great match. They're both great wrestlers in the ring. Like you said, charisma with Natalya. I think Charlotte's oozing with charisma.
Really?
I think so.
Okay, go on.
But it's sad that she's always going to be in the shadow of her dad. We were talking about that last night. Like, there's no, even when he's gone, she's still going to be Ric Flair's daughter.
But the sad thing is, that's not how they brought her up on NXT. NXT, they brought her up almost with that, other than obviously mentioning she's Ric Flair's daughter. He was not involved in any of her segments until they started, I think she had a match, I think her first title match with Natalya. Then they did sort of like a Ric Flair, Bret Hart sort of thing, involvement thing. But before that, they had built her up on her own. And then as soon as they brought her up to Raw, oh, here, let's bring out Ric Flair with her. So it didn't need to be that way, and I want to believe in the future it won't be that way, but you're right. They've already set the seeds that, like, she's just, which is such, I thought was such a mistake.
Why did you not think she has charisma?
There's something about her character I'm not getting. I don't know. Again, like I said, most of the charisma stems from her doing the odd woo here or there, which, again, is a Ric Flair thing, not a her thing.
She's a terrific heel. I think she's awesome.
She's okay. She's definitely better as a heel than as a babyface. She was terrible for sure.
Well,
as a heel, much better.
For me, it looks like to me that she's still thinking through the process. And that comes through to me. So it's not like Flair where he can do things off the cuff. To me, I can almost see what's going on inside of her head or feel what's going on inside of her head. And that's why a lot of what she says and a lot of what she does, a lot of her emotions look pre-planned and contrived rather than something that flows freely. And I think, not saying that she'll always be this way, I'm looking at it thinking they're building towards her breaking away from her dad at some point. I think there's another face turn for her. Maybe not immediately, but within a year and a half, there's going to be that breakup. There always is when they need something new, fresh. And I think it's at that point there that will see whether she can get out of Rick's shadow or not. Mm-hmm. It won't be until that time that we can determine whether she
can. I think
can.
It would be cooler if it was a Ric Flair face turn.
No. Well, he can't really turn. He's essentially... You know, he's one of those guys, though. He's above...
He's untouchable.
He's above face and heel at this point. It's,
yes.
He can get booed when he wants to sometimes, and in the same segment, he can get cheered for doing something. He's just... He's transcended. He's like a lot of, you know, legends, superstar guys now, so... I think that's all there is to say about that match. It was good, but it was probably the first point in the night where the crowd waned, the energy level of the crowd waned a little bit. They definitely perked up for the end. You know, WWE, say what you want about the WWE style. The way it is, you know, is in the last 5 minutes, they're always going to try and wow you. You know, maybe, you know, the buildup isn't always going to be good, but in the last 5 minutes, they're going to wow you, right? So, good finish. You know, you got a little bit of a this is awesome chant from the crowd, but they were chanting that for every match, so.
Yeah, that was a lot of people. This is awesome.
Please. Learn, you know, sometimes there are cards where all the matches are awesome, but you've got to, that chant has to have meaning.
I like that this was awkward chant.
During Stardust Zane, I believe it was. So we'll move on to the next odd little disappointment of the night. Brock Lesnar versus Bray Wyatt and Luke Harper sort of in a handicap match.
What was up with that?
So, obviously, Connor, you thought Bray must
we
be
thought
injured or
Bray
something.
Bray must have got hurt last night in Montreal or something, but... And then I looked online after, and he wasn't. I don't know. I honestly have no idea.
The only thing I think can happen, and I'm looking at it, again, logistically.
You can't look at WWE that way.
No.
No, I can. I can. And I can easily explain it to you. Right. So, finally, the WWE have been listening to our podcasts.
Well, we know that for sure, yeah.
And they realize, you know what? If Bray Wyatt is supposed to take over from The Undertaker as being... the most dark force, maybe we shouldn't have him lose all the time. And in this case, the only thing that I thought of was we need to somehow save Bray Wyatt because this feud with Brock Lesnar can be so much bigger than a roadblock event, period.
Yeah, I think we'd been speculating, Connor, that possibly even Mania could be changed to a triple threat with Ambrose in the main event, and then you have Brock back to his original sort of thing that they had seemed to have planned with Bray Wyatt. Even if they don't go that route, by not having him beat up Bray on this show, maybe the event after Mania or a later event, you can pick up these seeds again. So
there's
in
a storyline, yeah.
You mean Payback?
Is that always the one? Yeah, Payback.
The 12th most exciting pay-per-view of the year?
Payback's usually okay, I think.
Unless, you know, maybe Bray interferes in the Ambrose-Brock. There's so many things.
There's ways.
And Brock still hasn't given Bray Wyatt his comeuppance.
Yeah, there is reasons to, like, it's not that it made no sense, it was just disappointing. Like, it made sense to protect him, for sure.
But, yeah, hugely disappointing not to watch.
Well, especially since it was originally Brock versus Luke Harper when, like, I think before they called it Onesta's Roadblock.
Yeah.
Then it became Brock, Bray Wyatt, and then Brock, and then back to essentially Brock and Luke Harper. Like, that's the kind of booking that is so annoying with the WWE these days. Like, why?
But even there for a brief moment when I was watching it, wasn't it really Brock versus Bray and Luke?
Yeah, it was billed as a handicap match. But they essentially just made it Brock. So it's like,
and
why even do that?
He tagged out and left.
Hold on.
He
tagged out and left.
Yeah. When did they make it a handicap match? To me, it appeared like it was on the show they made it a handicap match.
It was.
Because the graphic.
Okay, nobody knew it ahead of time, right?
The graphic said Bray versus Brock.
I didn't miss anything.
No, you didn't miss anything. You were confused the rest. And I tell you, it killed the crowd. The crowd was definitely like, what's happening? Like, the crowd was like, what's going on? Like, I didn't understand what's happening.
Apparently, it was when Bray was walking to the ring cutting that promo is when he said it.
Yeah. Oh, see, and I was just trying to listen to his song. So I was so happy. I wanted to hear his. I love the theme still, and I wanted to listen to
one of the best entrances, yeah.
I did not listen to his promo.
Yeah, I didn't hear it either.
Again, why?
But all his promos have just become white noise to me at this point. So, and again, his new thing is ending with the promos with like, we will conquer just like everyone else or something. I'm like, is he being ironic? Like, I don't understand. He's being ironic at this point, right?
What you've conquered is, you haven't won any matches. You beat people up when it's 4-on-1. We get it. Yep. That's fine.
Definitely conquer the buffet.
Oh, is that how we're going there now? Oh. We're going there. Body shaming people, Connor Dorion?
Yeah.
Goodness. He's been away for weeks, and this is what we get when we bring him back. is what we get.
We can't all look like him, okay? Six-pack abs.
Hey, you're the one that's still making googly eyes at him.
I can't help it. All right? But he doesn't have to be so brash about it. Golly. Yeah. It was a disappointing match. It was just 7 suplexes and F5. Oh, Luke Harper got some offense in. There was a little super kick. I screamed out super kick party at one point.
Yeah, there was like 3 or 4 super kicks.
Consecutive super kicks.
Yeah.
I would love, obviously, to see like a competitive Luke Harper Brock Lesnar match, but you know, this is not the time. It would have been weird if that had happened. So the squash was fine. It's just, yeah, all the booking around it was so distracting, and
it was definitely disappointing.
Yeah,
I was looking forward to seeing Brock Lesnar and do something like that.
Like I said, it must have just absolutely killed the crowd when this is not what we signed up for.
Yeah. But,
hey, what can you do?
We'll skip over the Sami Zayn Stardust thing. Like we said, it was a bit pointless. And the whole time we were just thinking, why couldn't this have been
against It started Jordan? Awkward, too. I don't know if you noticed it, but Luke Harper was still walking to the back when Sami Zayn came out. Yeah, they crossed each other.
I think there's a bit of a rush. I think at that point they had missed time some things probably, and they knew how much time the main event would need, so they rushed ahead. During the match, Stardust, you know, as with any face-painted wrestler, stuff, you know, that goes a match goes longer than 10 minutes. Obviously, all the paint was coming off. And Cody Rhodes is under there. Dare, did you know? I was shocked.
Yeah, I had no idea.
Or it looked like Cody Rhodes. I had no idea. I thought...
His eyes look different, though. There was, like, black around his eyes.
Yeah, so it might not have been him.
Yeah.
It might not have been him, but I was very surprised.
I'm not playing this game. We all know it was Cody Rhodes.
Derry, you got to believe, which leads into my praise for the main event match, which is probably my favorite match of the year so far. I'm going to go that far.
Match of the year?
So far. This is an early match of the year candidate. I thought the main event was sensational.
It was. I think a little bit was... because we're there. I don't know how it translated on TV.
Always ads, yeah.
Well, stereo, how it translated on TV?
I honestly, by this time, we are talking about 3:30 in the morning, 3:45.
Before the time change or after the time change?
I fast-forwarded through it.
Oh. try and watch it again when you get the chance. Just the match. Not the whole show. It's just the match. But it does not pass the past 3 a.m. test. So just a note for fans out there.
For me, it did.
Did not pass it. But... yeah, definitely being live always helps. You know, I was saying I was at maybe what was the last Raw Toronto, I'm not sure, a couple years ago, and there was a Randy Orton Goldust match, and they had a great storyline around it. This is when Goldust was fighting to keep Cody's job. Right. Cody had crossed the authority, and the storyline going in was so emotional. You know, like Goldust is the one who's always like messed up. Cody's the good kid, and now Cody's the one that's being punished, and now for one time, can Goldust step up and do something for his brother and like help him out. And obviously, if Goldust lost, but it was one of those matches. He was going up against Randy Orton. You're like, he's not going to win. There's zero chance. But they told the story. Him and Randy told the story so well. You believe. You start to believe. What if Goldust is going to beat Randy Orton? They teased the Shattered Dreams, and then obviously he didn't do it because he's like, oh, if I do it, I'm going to get disqualified, and then my brother's going to lose his job. It was such a brilliantly, wordlessly told story. And you know, I was live, so it helped. And I'd say the same thing about this match. They just told. I mean, if you like wrestling, this match was wrestling. This was a story.
And what you're saying basically is that you know, WrestleMania is Roman Reigns versus Triple H, which means you know the outcome of this match has to be Triple H winning. But throughout the match, you caught yourself going, wait, maybe Dean will win. And if that happens, then all of a sudden your mind explodes with possibilities. And that's part of the entertainment right there.
Yeah, Alex was definitely submersed into that.
Oh, was he holding your hand at the time?
He was grabbing my shoulder.
Several times.
I don't know. Should we jump into
the near fall?
The new Toronto screw job, as it's been?
I thought that was a brilliant near fall. It definitely looked somewhat
botched.
Off. Huh?
I think it was botched.
Because, Derek, I don't know if you saw that part.
Yes. They were talking the feet under the ropes.
Yeah. From our perspective, I honestly thought the match was just over because I didn't see that he was that close to the ropes.
No.
But we were far away, and I wasn't looking at the screen at the time. I was trying to watch the match from our distant vantage point. So I bought it, and I was like, oh, that's awesome, which is good, but I think that's the point. You're supposed to buy it. So in that sense, it worked in the sense of it looking like they obviously had, you know, was supposed to have his foot under the rope. Maybe that didn't work so well.
From Connor and I were talking about this just seconds before, but from the camera perspective, it was always looking towards Ambrose's face when he made the pin, so you never saw his feet.
Oh, that's good. Okay.
And then I was waiting for it. There was never any other angle that I recall that they showed it from on the TV. So you had to take the referee's word that his feet were under there, but I couldn't tell one way or the other.
That's a good point. So it sounds like maybe they weren't close enough to the ropes because they didn't show.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, that's a good point.
From our angle, he looked way too far, which is... It was weird to me because the ref did count the three.
Yep.
Like he did the third Like, wouldn't you think he would do the two and then look?
Right.
Which was really odd to me.
Yeah. But again, that's one of those things, though, that to me is what made it so good.
Yeah.
Was that little sense of chaos. Just a little sense of chaos. A little sense of, oh, what, did someone mess up? But I loved that. I felt that made sense within the context of the story. It didn't take me out of the story. It added to the story. And again, both guys, you know, I'm always harping on Triple H's character. I've never been a fan of Triple H's character and whatever the rumors are of how he acts backstage. But those are mostly rumors. But as a wrestler,
he can put on a match.
The difference between a Sheamus and him, there's a lot of things, but definitely as far as, because Sheamus is a good wrestler. Triple H is an amazing wrestler. Triple H is an all-time great wrestler. There's a sequence there where, you know, Dean's working the leg. Dean's giving him the chop blocks. He's elbowing the leg. He jumps off the top rope, gives him a forearm to back a leg. Beautiful stuff. And I think, I don't know if there was a moment in that match where Triple H did not sell the leg. Whether he was on offense or he was the one getting attacked, there's just always a little bit of in his body language that, like, that old quad injury's acting up. You know what I mean? And I'm so engaged. I'm like this. It's when you're watching a good movie. I was thinking about it a little bit during the match, but really appreciating it after. You know, for the most part, I'm just watching the match and going, this is awesome. An awesome competition, you know? Mm-hmm. Ambrose was great. I think we've said his crazy character has been a bit odd at times. You know, but they just had him like, he's crazy because he's backstage and he's, what was it, like some of the silly things he's doing? Like, he's making funny faces. Oh, he's crazy.
Yeah.
But yesterday, his character was doing the, he's going all out, taking unnecessary risks, costing the match in the end.
Yeah.
Right. And this is, how about, they're interested to hear what you have to say, Connor, because you hate Dean Ambrose. Hated.
I hated Dean Ambrose when he first left the Shield, and that character with the crazy, like you said, with making crazy faces and the unhinged and the unstable, whatever it was. He's starting to come around on me. Just a little tiny bit. I was still cheering for Triple H in the match, but he's just trying to portray the badass instead of the crazy character, and I like it so much better than his old character.
To me, there does seem to be a bit more method to his madness, and therefore, does that make him crazy? Right? Like, I look at Dean Ambrose and go, there's been such a fresh approach, especially with his interactions with somebody like the Beast Brock Lesnar, because everybody's trying to have their game plan about, you know, how do you avoid the F5, how do you avoid the suplex, how do you do this, how do you do that, and Dean Bro's just like, you know, walking into the ring, getting up in his face and saying, just, you know, beat me as much as you want, I'm going to keep getting back up. Yeah. It was something a little bit newer that we haven't seen against Brock lately, and I thought, wow, this is a new take, and that's something that made Dean Ambrose grow on me.
Mm. Another criticism I have of him is that it's always the same five moves.
But you could say that about any wrestler, though. I'll never have any problem with that.
And I think he needs more of a catalog of moves.
I'm fine
moves.
With that. It's how you string them together. I'm fine with that.
And it always seems to be the same match with him.
That I can somewhat agree with. But again, I feel that's a lot the WWE main event formula in general. I don't know if that's a Dean Ambrose issue.
I was about to say, to me, that's a WWE thing, because you take a look at his opponent at WrestleMania, Brock Lesnar. Suplex, F5.
He has less than five moves that he uses. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to think what's the third one. Does.
Well, he's got a belly-to-belly suplex. He's got a German suplex. He's got a
suplex.
Traditional suplex. But and his matches are all the same.
Yeah.
Kind of thing, same way. But
they're more high-impact moves. Like Ambrose is, he has the dive between the ropes.
Yeah, rebound clothesline.
The rebound clothesline. Inside, he has the DDT.
Ring, yeah.
What but again, F?
I could say that about Triple H. Triple H has the low knee, the high knee. He has the, you know, I think any good wrestler, once you reach the WWE, your arsenal gets diminished a lot because they have their style, which is built around, you know, certain key moments.
And
they don't let anyone have like a 10, 12. Like, this is, I think, why people liked the Cena-Owens matches so much, was because they just let Cena and Owens go to town on each other. And it was refreshing. It was different than the WWE style. They like... and it birthed the wonderful springboard stunner. But generally, if you look at obviously the majority of Cena's career, and he gets criticized for it so much, he's a five moves guy, right? Which is true of really anybody. Bret Hart, the greatest worker of all, arguably the greatest worker of all time, his matches always ended with the same sequence. So,
but you know, you look at it as well and go, you know, it's not so much the wrestler themselves. How often is Dean Ambrose going to wrestle in Toronto this year?
Mm.
You know, so if you're going to a new city once every year and you have people coming out there, what do the fans want to see?
Yeah.
They want to see him do that stupid maneuver between the bounce back from the rope. They want to see him do, you know, the dive through the.
They want to hear Taking Care of Business. You know what I mean? Don't go up on stage and don't play Taking Care of Business. Okay, BTO, like you, people came to hear Taking Care of Business. You can play your new stuff at some point, but they want to hear Taking Care of Business.
You know, like the next WWE show I go to, if I know that Bray is there, I have to figure out, because I'm the old one in this group, how to turn my flashlight on my phone so I can be part of.
Alex couldn't figure it out.
I had the same problem.
See, I would have practiced it because I knew it was going to happen.
Trust me, it was horrible. But yeah, I cannot talk about how much I love this match. And, you know, you were just mentioning avoiding finishers. That's another little thing. I think Triple H teased the pedigree at least like 4 times. And it told the story of he's trying to put away Ambrose as quickly as possible. He knows how dangerous this guy is. And I'm just like, again, and I just didn't think about that until now, until you mentioned the avoid, like people, like the Brock Lesnar fearing the five and things like that. It's, watch the match game when you get the chance. Again, it's, I agree with Connor. It very much follows the WWE main event formula, but in the best possible way. You know, it follows the formula, but it's as good an iteration of the formula as you can get. It was wonderful.
Yeah.
Good insight there.
Well, I'm just saying we talked about the show a lot more than I thought. You were right. You guys were right that we could talk about it for almost an entire show because it was the biggest. I think we were saying as far as star power,
the biggest network special
since they started doing them. And continues this experiment with the WWE of being able to use the network, you know, as an outlet for these things that they couldn't do in the past, to air house shows, you know, that they might be able to make bigger than they would have before, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, big bonus for network viewers for sure. And also an alternative to, you know, hyping things up on Raw or SmackDown or, you know, whatever other shows they have. And they have so much control over it. You know, this is their own thing. They don't answer to anyone on these shows. So definitely I'll say the network event experiment is working. You know, all the NXT stuff has obviously been brilliant. I thought the Japan show was really cool. Madison Square Garden was okay, I think, but still worthwhile. You reminded me that like the main event was Brock Lesnar and Big Show, and I was like, yeah. I totally blacked that out. But
it was the Go to Hell tour.
Oh, that's what it was called?
Yeah.
But now we're on the back on the, you know, the roadblocks out of the way. It took about 2.5 hours. The construction crew got in there, took the roadblock out of the way.
Let me ask you one question. Did roadblock do anything to further storylines for WrestleMania in any angle?
Connor, go ahead.
The only one would be the main event. Because I still think that someone's going to be thrown into that main event. I don't think it's going to be just Triple H versus Reigns. I think either a Brock Lesnar or a Dean Ambrose will be thrown in as well. Because we were talking about this last night. I think Shane's going to go over The Undertaker. I know it's a hard feat. I don't know how he's going to do it, but I think he's going to win, and he's going to switch up the main event just so Triple H has a better chance of losing.
It's definitely possible. The only way I see them changing the main event is if Roman Reigns really is hurt and can't wrestle properly.
I think they're pretty sure he's going to be back on time. Like, they had a very firm schedule as for when that surgery was going to be done. I think they're almost sure he'll be healthy before, like, probably 2 weeks before Mania. So I don't think that's a concern.
Then I
so, was he hurt before Triple H did that to his face?
He was hurt in a match with Rusev at a house show.
Oh, so that was just a way for him to get
to write him off.
Okay.
Yeah. So that was legitimate. Which I thought was pretty smart. I've been at the last show I defended the Reigns Triple H thing, but yeah, for sure after seeing the chemistry between Ambrose and Triple H and that, boy, it almost seems insane not to have them tangle again at some point, whether one-on-one or in a triple threat. So I am starting to lean towards Connor now, just thinking, and I think a lot of people on the internet are starting to speculate, how can they have a main event now without Ambrose in it? He's clearly the number one babyface in the company. I don't know. Pop, would you rather see a triple threat or?
Well, I'm just looking at the whole up and down card. And do we take away Roman Reigns' moment?
Again.
You know?
2 years in a row.
That's really, really tough. Because in all fairness to Roman Reigns, his in matches, I thought, have been good.
He's been better.
He's been much better in terms of wrestling. Mm-hmm. Why the fans don't like him, I think, is more to do with how WWE booked him in the past,
yep,
rather than it has to do anything with him. And that's to me is a sad part. But yeah, having a triple threat match between the three of them, I think would be cool. Now they can slot in Bray Wyatt up against Brock Lesnar. You know, you have your third match with Shane O'Mac against Undertaker. You need to find a decent opponent for Kevin Owens. And now you, I think you're starting to build a decent Mania.
How terrible is that saying that? Like a month out. Now they're starting to build a decent Mania.
A month.
Like a, isn't it a month? Less than a month?
April 3rd.
Yeah.
So like, now, like
3 weeks?
Yeah, good. 3 weeks.
Now they're starting to build a decent Mania. Yeah.
Well, I mean, and again, this is not completely their fault. They have some blame for sure.
It's like 90% their fault.
Oh, the injuries. No, but with injuries, like injuries you can't plan for and stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, now that's what, four matches there is half a card? Half a Mania card?
We talked about the triple threat Divas match?
We talked about it a little bit on the last show.
He didn't add it, though.
I know. I think it's a great match.
Yeah.
I think it's a year too soon.
Yeah, the storyline just isn't quite there yet.
They could have spent a whole year building this up even better and have all these little wars, and now they're going to... But again, that being a fifth match to the card, great. There's going to be another...
That'll be the Andre the Giant Battle Royal.
Yeah, which I hope is not on the pre-show this time. I think it should be on the main card. Though I heard it did a really good job on the pre-show, so maybe that's how it'll be from now on. But
and what other? I mean, it might
tag team title match.
New Day against League of Nations.
I think it's gonna be a multi-man.
Here's the thing: from a wrestling standpoint, it's gonna be good no matter what. Like I said, even this show, you know, some of the matches maybe storyline wise we weren't invested in. Charlotte and Natalya, even Zayn Stardust, which I thought was I mean, it's hard for me to get into. Just from an in-ring standpoint, none of the matches were bad, and I think, like I said, we're all good to great. WrestleMania would be the same way. Their roster is so talented right now. When they put on a big event, it is almost impossible for them to have a bad big event. It's almost impossible. It's the storylines that are so disappointing, and the fact that they're 3 weeks out, and so many of these story matches potentially going in don't have storylines yet, and that we are just sort of constructing them in our minds. It's frustrating.
Kevin Owens. I'm already putting it as a great match because Kevin Owens is going to be
part of it. Wrestle Zayn. I'm assuming him and Zayn will get their moment.
Thank you.
But I'm assuming.
That's right.
Hasn't been booked.
And even if Zayn gets the belt, wow. Right. But they wasted so much time and again trying to book it. Or having, you know, New Day fight. If it's going to be League of Nations, then why have him fight him three or four times beforehand? If it was going to be AJ Styles or Y2AJ, if it was going to be them, like, why would you do it?
And beat him twice already.
And beat
him twice.
Yes.
What story is left to tell?
You know, I mean, whatever happened to that heelish moment where it says, nah, I don't have to wrestle you now and walk away. It really pissed me off when it happened, but you know what? You need to bring that back.
I'm going to buy the network now because I need to see this match or whatever, you know? That's the whole point.
Yeah.
But I've seen it twice now, so why would someone just buy the network for it? I don't know. Oh, I just hit the mic. So I just hit the mic with my face. So that's usually a good sign, I think, to wrap up.
It's great because usually he blames the mic for hitting him in the face.
this mic
came
and
out
I
of nowhere.
Got problems. Very solid Roadblock show. I hope that came off. I know we complain a lot, but I hope that came off that I really enjoyed the show.
I think from a TV perspective, the only thing was a lot of whys in terms of the booking.
Yeah. And as you said, maybe didn't do the best job of doing anything towards building to Mania if that was supposed to do.
Which, that's what I thought was part of the process. Yeah.
But match quality-wise, excellent. More proof that they have big money acts in New Day, the Realist guys, Sami Zayn even, and of course Ambrose. Ambrose, who's even somewhat managed to win over our own Conor Dorian, though that may just be for lack of options at this point.
It may be.
I think they've
beaten
you down.
We'll see when everyone's back.
They've ruined all the guys you like to the point like you have no choice but to root for Ambrose.
No, you look at the main event and you go, damn, Triple H is so good he can even make Dean Ambrose look good.
Oh, that's, I'll let you have Bob, I'll let you have the last word on that one. I'll let you have the last word, but. Thank you, WWE, for coming to the Rico Coliseum. Please bring NXT up soon. Definitely the Realist guys proved there is the audience for it. Toronto fans know what's up more than I do, even. Like I said, I'm not don't keep up to NXT that much. But, a fine show and another fine show, I think, for us, especially having Connor.
Yeah, it's great to be back.
Welcome back.
Welcome back, Connor.
Thanks, everyone.
Welcome back. Your dreams were your ticket out. Welcome back. Same old place that you laughed about. Well, the names have all changed since you hung around, but those dreams have remained and they've turned around.